Podcasts. I'm your host, Amanda.
And I am Ella, and you are entering the sovereign country of Scully Nation, where the flashlights are flickery and the blazers are boxy.
This is an X-Files rewatch podcast. We rewatch the X-Files, and then we have a little chat about it. And guess what? This is my first time watching it.
Wow, that's amazing, because this is my fourth time watching it.
That doesn't make any dang sense. Why would we be watching it at different times?
I watched it first, because I'm better.
Am I a copycat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But that's okay.
Okay.
I guess. I just said it wasn't, but now I said it is. I contain multitudes.
I'm so confused. I don't know what you want from me, but I think
we're okay
anyway.
I don't know what we're talking about, but in a second, I do know what we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Because tonight is a dour night. Mm-hmm. It's a sad night.
Okay. Yes.
I was trying to think of an adjective for like Christmas out of season.
An atypical Christmas time.
Sure.
That's nothing. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Christmas in July.
Yes, although it's February.
Christmas in February.
Because tonight we are talking about season 7, episode 10, Sein und Zeit.
That was utterly irresponsible, Mulder. He was out of line and it was without any basis in reality.
You think that woman could have killed her son?
She was convicted in a court of law.
So how do you explain those two notes written 10 years apart could contain the same obscure phrase?
I can't explain it, Mulder, but you're doing exactly what I said. You're personalizing this case.
No, I'm going to solve this case. I am going to solve it.
How?
I'm going to find those kids.
What if they're dead, Mulder? Don't go looking for something you don't want to find.
This episode aired on February 6th, 2000. It was written by Chris Carter and Frank Spotness and directed by Michael Watkins, who previously directed Amor Fati, Arcadia, Tithonus, and Dreamland Part 2. He seems to be doing like half and half, like the goofy episodes and the very dark episodes.
Let's go. Is he trying to prove himself?
I don't know.
He's getting his reel together.
I guess so.
All right.
You got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
This episode takes place in Sacramento and Redding, California, Idaho briefly, and Greenwich, Connecticut, where Mama Mulder lives.
Mama Mulder.
Lived.
Oh, spoiler.
Anyone who's listening to this has seen the episode.
Nope, people watch as if we are a director's commentary the first time they've ever
watched
it.
Said this before, and it's never true.
Write in and tell me if you listen to our podcast as a director's commentary the first time you watch the show.
Maybe we could do that on our Patreon, episode commentaries.
Okay.
We can bring the same kind of verve and energy that Chris Carter brings to his.
So, Mulder is sitting at his couch.
I will say, I don't know, we haven't mentioned this on the podcast. I did finally watch Das Boot.
Yes.
We had a Das Boot night. It was very exciting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We checked out the commentary real quick. We didn't really watch it, but we fast-forwarded through it. There's so much energy from this man.
He was giving background information. He was talking about filming conditions, the story.
He seemed to care about what he had done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Chris Carter situation where he was on Quaaludes at gunpoint.
Yes. Although I think you did really maybe have a good idea when you said that he's recording them all at the same time.
Mm.
Like going from room to room and room.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
He's running around. There's a room for every episode. And that's a lot of rooms.
That is a lot of rooms. 217 rooms.
Ooh, Christopher.
Well,
he's jogging.
I can't, I cannot imagine Chris Carter jogging for some reason.
I bet he does, but
he probably does because he lives in California.
There,
I feel like everyone in California jogs.
That's
right?
Actually, they get around either by car or by jogging over there.
Mm-hmm.
Or hiking.
I think that's true.
They also hike.
But not Chris Carter.
What does he do then?
He just ambles. He walks.
He's an ambler.
Yes.
Hanging out with Guillermo del Toro. They're just ambling together.
Guillermo del Toro is definitely an ambler.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in this episode of the X-Files that we're talking about, this is your plot synopsis.
Okay.
While
investigating. It's my plot synopsis.
It's your plot synopsis.
I don't want this.
So take ownership over it.
I didn't write it.
While investigating the bizarre disappearance of a young girl from her home, Mulder becomes obsessed with a number of children who have vanished in similar ways. Scully's fears that he is emotionally invested due to his sister's disappearance 27 years earlier are heightened.
Okay.
Mulder's mother dies apparently of suicide.
There are so many apostrophes there. I was like, Scully's fears?
Yes.
Okay.
I lost myself in the middle of that sentence, but I hope that I found it by the end.
It's a noun phrase, Scully's fears. It's not Scully that, fears that he is.
That was what confused me while I was speaking.
I was confused reading it.
It's fine.
And then it just kept going. It was like, sister's disappearance, Mulder's mother.
Yeah, this is a lot, it's but it's mess. Okay. But, well, yeah. I feel like we're bringing a lot of... We're having a good time right now, but we're about to have a very bad time.
This
so,
is serious. Oh, yeah. Well, I thought this was kind
so
of
let's a get serious.
Pretty goofy episode.
It's not.
I was going to continue kind of the critique that has started in, I think, season six about where some of the episodes were a little bit too silly. This was a little silly to me.
Yeah.
I thought. Did you not get that?
I didn't pick up on that, but I'll be excited to find out where you noticed that.
We'll get into it, I guess. Well, is it time to hop on into the... kidnapped meat. We've definitely done that.
The Santa meat.
The Santa meat Santa of the meat. Episode. Mm. Yum, yum, yum. You know he would,
tasty.
Would be tender.
Ew.
What?
Okay.
Hey. Well, we're hopping on in. We need to move to our other tab where I have my notes.
Oh, boy.
Okay. We open on a little girl praying in her bedroom before going to sleep for the night. Her mom and dad are watching lovingly from the doorway. They tuck her into bed and they close the bedroom door. Dad goes to watch a movie in the living room and is this going to ever be relevant?
I'm about to tell you, so introduce this.
Oh my God. Okay. So we get like an extended shot of like a movie. It's just a scene of three people running down a hotel hallway with guns, it seems like. And the dad's on the couch and he just like mutters to himself, "This is great." He's just really into it.
Well, I have wonderful news for you.
So
I needed to figure out what this was.
Yeah.
This is Harsh Realm.
Ah!
Chris Carter's other show that just got canceled. Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
So it's a little like, you guys shouldn't have canceled my show. Yes.
That's so petty.
It's very funny.
It looked like shit. It looked like a B-movie porno late at night on HBO in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was delighted.
That's very funny.
I was delighted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was very strange.
They did focus, because we were watching it. We're like, what is this?
Yeah.
I got to find out what this is. And that's just what Chris wanted.
Oh, that bastard.
So he got
to drag you in. It comes up again later in the episode, how great this show was.
It's really funny.
Okay. Now that I know that is very funny.
Yes.
I assumed it was going to come back in part two, and it was going to be plot relevant.
No.
Hell yeah.
It's just Chris Carter being petty.
Harsh Realm, shouldn't have canceled it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said. Okay, so dad's love it. He's watching Harsh Realm, and he's fucking loving it. It's the only thing that he enjoys in his life anymore. Meanwhile...
Well, at least, like... He'll be able to, in the future, he'll be able to watch more Harsh Realm to take his mind off of the horror that his life is turning into, right?
Oh, I've got bad news for you.
Huh?
Fox canceled it.
Those bastards. They don't recognize Chris Carter's genius.
I'm so mad right
God.
Now. Ugh. Ugh. Whatever. Anyway, mom, meanwhile, is tucking herself into her own bed, but she suddenly stops almost as if she's in a trance, and then she walks to the closet, tears some paper off of like a dry cleaning coat hanger, the ones that like have the paper on them, sits down on the bed and grabs a Sharpie, which is, it seems weird, but we're not sure what's going on quite yet.
A little strange.
Where the dad gets interrupted from watching Harsh Realm when he hears a door slam, and he turns off this great show that he's really looking forward to finishing. And he goes to check on the sound, and he sees the mom sitting up in bed writing on a piece of paper. We zoom in and see that she seems to be writing a ransom note, which gets very spooky. It's like, Mr. and Mrs. LaPierre, listen carefully. I've kidnapped your daughter and will kill her unless you do everything I say.
Mm.
Which is a weird thing for her to be writing.
Yes.
So I don't know what's going on there. But because she just kind of looks like she's calmly writing, dad, you know, is like, whatever, that's fine. And then he goes to check on their daughter, Amber Lynn, who is lying face down on her bed and kind of looks dead. He flips her over and gets like an evil vision of her as a corpse. And he starts freaking out. But suddenly, like, you know, he blinks and she's fine again. And she seems to be okay. So,
probably nothing.
But little does he know he's in an X-Files opening.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it's not going to be okay. Mom is continuing to write this evil little note back in her bedroom, and it ends with the phrase, "No one shoots at Santa Claus," which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
We'll return to that. Back in the Amber Lynn's bedroom, Dad rubs his eyes, leaves the bedroom, but after he leaves, like the second he gets out into the hallway, the daughter's bedroom door slams shut and blood starts pooling from under her door, which is never a good sign.
Uh-oh.
Dad screams for the mom and bashes through the door, only to find Amber Lynn gone from her bed.
Oh,
what the
my
heck?
God.
What the heck?
It's just what I expected, because her name is Amber Lynn.
She's a, as we talked about, that is the name of an 8-year-old who gets kidnapped.
Yes.
Like, that's just an 8-year-old kidnapped victim's name.
I don't know, like, what it is, but, yeah.
Is it something mean about the Amber Alert and the fact that that was named after a kid who got kidnapped?
No, it's, like, the two-name thing.
Okay.
I think it's the Lynn specifically.
Yeah.
It's, like, the middle name Lynn. I don't know.
Yeah, just Amber Lynn. You can't imagine that it, well, okay, I'm sure there are adult Amber Lynns, so I shouldn't say that.
Well, sure, but...
I have trouble imagining an Amber Lynn
yeah.
as an adult.
Yeah. Credits.
Credits.
The credits are over. We go to the FBI HQ. It's 3 a.m. Mulder walks in. He's marching on in. From the look on his face, you can tell this is going to be a serious episode. This man is ready to project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He knows it's his week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Skinner has a command room ready to go. Everybody's rushing around. They're doing their thing. They're trying to find this kid. Skinner turns around and he sighs when he sees Mulder at the door because he knows his night is about to be ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asks Mulder why he's here. And Mulder says that he really, really wants the case. And Skinner says, well, this is just a kidnapping. It's not an X-File. There's no reason to believe that.
Can we speak about his exact phrasing for a second?
What did he say?
He says it's basic missionary style FBI work.
That's right.
I didn't care for him saying that.
That's right.
I don't know.
That was...
This is some more evidence of freak skin man over here.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, go on.
It's just what you would expect from him.
True.
Yeah.
True. He does talk about butts later on, too.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Always.
Always.
So he's like, yeah, this is not an X-File. Get out of here. But Mulder wants the case anyway. He wants to rule out all other possibilities. But Skinner says he can't give it to Mulder. There's procedure to be followed. They don't want a lot of press getting wind of what's going on before they're ready to make a statement because of the, sensitive nature of the case. And Mulder thinks that if they wait for everything to go through the regular channels, it's going to be too late. The case is going to turn into a media circus. And if somebody doesn't ask the right questions now... they're never going to get asked.
Mm-mm.
And Mulder is not the right man to ask those questions.
No. But theoretically, he's right that someone should be, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So Skinner sighs. He's like, I really, really regret how close we are. But okay. All right.
I don't want to be friends with you, but I guess we are.
Yeah. It's too late to pretend that we're not, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So he tells Mulder that he has until noon tomorrow and he'd better turn in a report by noon.
I guess the real thing is less that they're close, more that Skinner knows he can't stop him. Well, he's going to go anyway, so we might as well
let him do it. Yeah. So Mulder got the case. Skinner does also mention that apparently the other agents in the room have a pool going as to whether the little girl is dead or not. So that's...
damn.
Fucked up.
Thanks, FBI agents.
Yeah. But then Mulder walks away and he says that he would not bet on the girl being dead. He knows elsewise. Elsewise?
He knows know elsewise.
Otherwise?
I like elsewise.
He knows otherwise.
That's a cute word.
I don't.
Oh.
But yeah, he seems very confident. He's starting off this episode in hero mode.
Yes.
He thinks the girl is fine. He's going to find the girl. He's going to solve the case. He's going to do his thing.
Yeah.
But we will see over the course of the episode his convictions being crumbled.
Shaken to their core.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So we cut to Sacramento, California, where the kidnapping took place. Mulder pulls up to a very busy scene at the house. And, the press are trying to talk to him as he is going through the gauntlet, but he ignores them. And he finally gets inside where he is, again, intercepted by the LaPierre's attorney, who looks very sad and in over his head.
He's a real loser, this guy.
This is a bottom of his class kind of guy.
Yes.
We learn that the attorney is indeed a real estate attorney, not even a criminal attorney. And Mulder is like, have you ever handled a murder case? And the attorney points out that this isn't a murder case. But Mulder is like, it might as well be once the fact gets out. And the attorney's very defensive about the fact that his clients are not murderers, but Mulder, you know, does some like mind Jedi tricks to convince him that if he really wants to help his clients, one, he needs to get a real lawyer, and two, he needs to let Mulder talk to them.
Is it mind Jedi tricks, or is he just kind of telling this guy the truth?
He's just kind of telling this guy the truth.
He's like, not wrong.
Yeah, they need a real lawyer.
This guy's an idiot.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You've got a compelling point. Mm-hmm. And I think the LaPierres realized that as well, because they initiated a conversation with Mulder over the objections of their lawyer. Mulder tells the parents that he has experience with crimes like this from his pre-X-Files work in violent crimes, and he wants to ask them about the note he found.
Before we talk about the serious part of this, I did find it, the lawyer like sits down and starts like stroking the mom's arm.
So weird.
It's very strange. I have a theory about this man.
Okay.
Is the lawyer the parents' third? And that's why that they hired him, because they knew him. He was in the house. And they're like, I don't know. He's the only lawyer they know.
Yes.
So he wants to help them. And that's why he's here.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think we just like missed the scene in the cold open where like the lawyer rolls over in bed. He's like, what's going on?
Babe, what's happening?
Yep.
Yes, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, it's weird otherwise that he's just like stroking her arm.
Why is he stroking her arm?
It's weird.
Because he's supportive and he knows it's a stressful time.
He's supportive because he's involved in their relationship.
When you're a lawyer, you just rub your client's arms a lot, okay?
Nope.
It's traditional.
Nope.
If you look at, like, videos of court trials and stuff, you'll just see the lawyers. Sometimes they make out for a little bit with their client.
True. That's not true.
With lips and tongue.
Lips and tongue?
Lips and tongue.
Tell me more.
Well, okay, let's go into some detail here. It is weird, but, you know. This is a serious
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So no goofing on
I
anything.
Just wanted to get all of our harsh realm and polyamory jokes out of the way at the very beginning before we get into the serious stuff.
I might make some goof 'em ups later on as well.
Right.
I can't remember, but I wouldn't be surprised if I do.
Okay, all right.
Having met myself. So the dad just starts lying about the ransom note, which we know because we saw the cold opening. The dad starts claiming that he found the note in Amberlynn's bedroom, and that was when he went to check on her. It was around 9:30, and he knows because he was watching TV. And Mulder's like, oh, wow, what were you watching? And then the guy's like, I had never heard of it before, but it was so good. And then Mulder's like, wow, do you think it was like written by like a really smart, cool, talented guy? And the guy says, I don't know who wrote it, but I think it's fair to say they were smart, cool, and talented. Yeah, I think that's right.
Listen, finding kidnapped little girls is important,
yeah.
but not as important as taking pot shots at the cancellation of Harsh Realm.
Exactly. It's so true. It's so true. Yeah. So that's, I guess that's the last mention of Harsh Realm, but we'll miss it.
So far.
And we'll love it.
We'll see.
Mulder asks the mom, and you know, about where the note was or whatever, and she looks really nervous, what she was doing when Amberlynn got taken, and she looks really nervous and kind of like looks at her husband like they've agreed on a lie or something, and then she says, I was in bed already, and that she was half asleep, which I guess that's probably true technically.
Yes.
Mulder asks if they lock their doors at night. They say yes. Mulder asks if they're on good terms with their neighbors. Also yes. And they really can't think of anyone who would have wanted to hurt Amberlynn. And then they just start kind of sobbing a little bit, which is pretty fair because their daughter was taken. Mulder says, you know, the FBI will do everything they can to find your daughter. And then as he's walking away, the mom's like, do you think they will find her though? Like, in your professional opinion? And Mulder says, I hope so. I really do. And then he looks off into the middle distance.
Yes.
In a projection traumatized face.
He emotes while he is saying this.
He says, I sure hope they find Samantha as well. My sister.
Ooh, what?
My sister? Huh. She also went missing around this age in kind of similar circumstances.
Yeah, all right.
And they say, oh, okay, great. I love having someone who's emotionally invested in my case.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, later that night, at the motel, Scully arrives. She parks badly. She's in a lariat. We're all very happy to
Diesel
see
Dana.
Her.
Diesel Dana.
She knocks on Mulder's door, and he is just kind of sadly lying in the dark watching news footage by himself.
Unmute.
Yes. And he just says that he's thinking, you know. And Scully asks whether she can turn on a light, and Mulder's like, no, I'm too busy being sad.
Poor guy.
And so Scully says that... Skinner is royally pissed at Mulder for not turning in his report at noon, like he promised. And Skinner waited.
Yeah.
He waited
by
the fax machine for the report. And now he has sent Scully to get the report for him. So Scully is on babysitting duty.
That feels right.
And so Scully says that the media has found out about the ransom note, so the FBI is forced to move ahead and arrest the parents, and it's all kind of spiraling out of control, and Mulder says that he does not believe that the parents are guilty, and Scully says, okay, but the facts really, really point to the parents' guilt. It's all very, very suspicious. But Mulder wonders why the parents would have lied about where they found the note. And then we see some news footage where we see Amberlynn's picture, and we get, like, I guess they're making connections to JonBenet Ramsey and other cases like it. And Scully kind of wonders about society's morbid fascination with the murder of an innocent. And then Mulder says again that he knows Amber isn't dead. He can feel it in his heart. Can he feel it in his heart, or is he just hoping in his heart?
I think he's hoping in his heart.
Yeah. And then Mulder's cell phone rings, and it is Tina.
Tina represents.
On the line, or Mrs. Mulder.
Please, put some respect on it, but also sure. Take away her identity.
Mm-hmm. And so Tina says that she is also watching the news, and she's seen the story about Amberlynn, and she asks Mulder when he's going to come home, and asks him to call her when he gets back, and Mulder promises to do so, but in the way where he's already forgotten that he's promising, as he says it.
Well, he got that trait from Tina.
That's true. That's true.
So she can't be mad.
She can't blame him.
Yeah.
But this one's pretty important.
He did not put a reminder in his phone.
No.
Let's just say that.
He probably should have.
Yeah.
And then so they hang up.
Ooh.
But it's fine. They'll have plenty of chances to talk in the future, right?
Yeah.
They'll have so much time to talk to one another after this. So it's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But Tina hangs up, and then we see her sadly stroking the photo of Fox and Samantha, the same one that the smoking man had that we saw earlier. Mm-hmm. So that's probably fine.
I'm sure it's fine.
It's just normal.
Sorry, that's what parents do. They sit by the phone and stroke framed photographs of their children, just like on a normal day.
Yeah, I think so.
Not when they're planning anything.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Yeah. So that's exciting to see Tina again. It's been a minute.
I am happy to see her.
Yeah. I was unclear if they were like on speaking terms, because the last time we saw her, she was getting him out of the hospital, but he was like in a weird mental state. So I don't know.
And the time before that was the big screaming match.
Demons, yeah. Where he went into her house and like... Did she punch him or something?
She slapped him.
She slapped him.
Yeah. I mean, presumably they have spoken just off screen since then.
I think that's the implication here.
But.
Which I was unclear about.
Yeah.
Until now. And they'll talk again.
They won't.
And they'll talk again. So we cut back to Crime HQ at 9 a.m. the next day.
Crime HQ.
Okay. What do you call it? The command center?
Command center, I guess. I like Crime HQ.
Thank you. Yeah. Crime HQ. Mulder. I wrote the wrong name down.
Nope.
That was disgusting. Skinner is running the overhead projector machine. I thought he gave off the vibe of like when you had a substitute teacher who was like a military vet, and he was like the one substitute teacher that none of the kids messed with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That feels so right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're all looking at this transparency of the ransom note. I did get excited about the overhead projector.
Yeah, I kind of miss it, actually.
It was so exciting, like, the one or two times in your career as a student when you got to write on them.
Uh-huh.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Skinner is explaining the details about the ransom note, that it's written on this paper used by dry cleaners. It was torn... the fact that it was torn from a coat hanger implies it was hastily written. The ink and the torn paper were found in the trash at the LaPierre's, and it only has the mom's fingerprints on it. And in the middle of this presentation, the Boo crew sneak into the room, Mulder first and then Scully sheepishly after Mulder, I would say. And Skinner does kind of glare at them a little bit, but Mulder then interrupts to ask if it is the mom's handwriting. And then some other chuckle fuck agent pops up.
You mean the star of the episode?
Star of the episode.
I love this guy.
I kind of did too. Yeah. Handwriting expert agent pops up and says that it's going to be difficult to prove that it's the mom's handwriting just because of the type of pen and the type of paper. But it also appears that the writer attempted to change their handwriting. But it does show some key similarities to the mom's handwriting that they've gotten from other handwriting samples. So it's enough to make a connection, but as Mulder says, it's not enough for an indictment. And then Skinner's like, do you have something you want to share with the class, Mulder? Like, why are you here right now? And Mulder starts pointing out some inconsistencies with the information that has been presented to the FBI. For example, the dad said he turned off the amazing show Harsh Realms so that he could go to bed when he realized that Amberlynn was missing. But then the agents arrived at the house and Harsh Realm was still playing and they actually got distracted and they just watched it for a while. And before the, so
well,
that's
how
actually
could
why
they not get distracted?
That's why the case got cold. Yeah. It would have been fine otherwise.
It's just so good.
It's such a good fucking show. Yeah. We got to do a Harsh Realm podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And the parents both put the kid to bed together and they were never more than 20 feet away from her while she was abducted. And they know all their neighbors, but apparently no one saw a stranger enter into a locked and lighted home, remove a girl, and then take her away undetected while the parents were, like, in the other room. So it's starting to, like, the facts are weird. Mm-hmm. The facts are weird. The handwriting agent thinks that the husband is just lying for the wife, but Mulder doesn't agree with that. He says that doesn't really explain what happened to the little girl. And then he points out the line at the end of the ransom note, like, no one shoots at Santa Claus. Or he, like, he just looks at it and then he leaves. He doesn't really point it out to anyone.
He ponders.
He ponders it.
Yes.
And everyone else just kind of sits in silence. And Scully, realizing it's awkward now, follows Mulder down to the X-Files office rather than staying.
She looks worried first. Yes. And then she follows.
She emotes.
Yes. Yeah. She also knows what kind of episode this is.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all aware what they're in.
Yeah. So Mulder goes down to the X-Files office. He starts digging through said X-Files. And Scully comes in and asks what he's doing. He says that there's something in this case that he recognizes from another X-File. And Scully thinks that Mulder is just personalizing this case and connecting it with Samantha. But Mulder protests. He says, I have not once in this episode mentioned Samantha with my mouth. My eyes have been mentioning Samantha constantly.
Yes.
But my mouth has not.
Yeah.
And besides, Samantha was taken by aliens. This is definitely not the same thing. I'm not taking this case personally, Scully. Don't worry about it. I'm very professional. And then he does pull out another X-Files from Idaho in 1987, and it's, like, basically the same case, and there was another ransom note with kind of the same phrase, nobody shoots at Santa Claus. So that is suspicious.
It is weird.
And strange.
I had one question.
Yes.
Didn't their whole office and all of their files get destroyed, like, 2 years ago?
Wasn't that what Mulder was doing, is reconstructing all the files?
Oh, I get. I forgot he was doing that. I forgot. Yep.
So it's probably not the original files, but he probably, like, reprinted them, right?
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. You're right.
Because, yeah, he was, like, sadly was sitting, like, in the room and piecing together paper.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right. Yep. He's diligent.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. I thought I could get Chris Carter out
of
something. You can't get this man.
The director of Harsh Realm.
You can't get this man.
Absolutely not.
He's always 10 steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
So we cut to Redding, California, where someone in a van with a Santa ornament hanging from the rearview mirror is filming children playing outside on a camcorder, and it does not appear the children know that he is filming them.
No.
Not great.
No.
So that's weird, but let's put a pin in that and instead go to an Idaho women's prison where Mulder and Scully are coming to meet with Tenkate?
I just called her Kathy Lee.
Kathy Lee. Is that... who it is?
That's her name.
Oh, okay.
Kathy Lee Tenkate.
Oh, okay. Kathy Lee.
Kathy Lee's a real this kind of
yeah, it is.
Mom.
That feels right. Yeah. Okay. So they're meeting with Kathy Lee, who is the mom from this other case that they found in the X-Files office. She looks nervous, but polite, but also confused when Mulder sits down in the bunk in her cell to talk to her. She looks hungry for her child to be returned
hungry
to
for
her.
Justice.
Hungry for justice.
Okay.
Yeah. But cautious and unsure if she deserves it. But she's emoting a lot.
You're getting her expression. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Just like in Lie to Me.
Fantastic actress, and all of her micro expressions just flashed across her face like a Times Square billboard.
Wow.
I would say.
Incredible.
Yes. Mulder kind of like summarizes the facts of Kathy Lee's case, which seem to speak for themselves, just like the LaPierre's. We learn that her 6-year-old son, Dean, was taken from his bed while he slept. A note was found threatening his life. It was later found that the note was written by Kathy Lee herself. She pleaded innocent, but was found guilty and sentenced to 12 years in prison, and her son's body was never found. And Kathy Lee's story is that on the night Dean disappeared, she had a vision of him dead and thought her mind was playing tricks on her, but when she went to check on him, he was gone. Then, 3 years ago, which was 7 years into her sentence, she suddenly changed her story and confessed to the murder of her son and claimed that it was during a psychotic break. And Scully asks her why she did it, and Kathy Lee says, "I don't know. I was full of rage," like in the most woman broad, who has never been full of rage in her entire life voice.
Yes.
That she's ever.
I don't believe this woman has ever gotten angry.
No.
Ever.
No, no, no. This is not a woman who would get angry and kill her child, is the vibe that we are getting.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, Mulder shows her a copy of the ransom note that she wrote and asks her to explain what "no one shoots at Santa Claus" means. And then she also looks nervous and confused, and she's like, it means that when someone promises you a gift, you know, like Santa, you wouldn't do anything for fear of not getting the gift. And Mulder's like, that's nothing.
It doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything. You're just saying words. And Mulder tells this woman that a little girl, Amber Lynn, disappeared from her bed 3 days ago, and he shows Kathy Lee the note that was left at that scene, and the fact that there's that repeated phrase, "no one shoots at Santa Claus," and also the fact that neither note makes a specific demand, and in neither case was there any evidence of actual foul play or a break-in, and there hasn't been a body found in the Amber Lynn case either. So it's like suspicious coincidences that are lining up with Dean's case. Kathy Lee apparently told the police where Dean's body was, but the body was not actually there, and Kathy Lee gets very defensive about that, and she's like, I can't explain it, I can't explain it. And Mulder's like, yeah, because you didn't do anything. That's why you can't explain it, girl. And then he slaps her.
I don't know. He
just
did
to, like,
not
get her out no, of her.
No, he did not do that.
Her confusion.
Okay. No. Oh, then it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. It, okay. No, it wasn't like a mean slap. It was like she was hysterical.
It's like a get yourself together kind of slap.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. So it's fine. Mulder's, you know, he's like, you didn't kill your son. You didn't bury him. You're not guilty of anything except a lie. You only changed your story because you knew it would play better with the parole board. But this family really needs you to corroborate their story. They need your help right now. Like, you need to make it clear that your situation was the same as theirs. And Kathy Lee, you know, looks very nervous. And she's like, I'm sorry. I'm just not that person. I'm not going to be able to help with this. Mm-hmm. And Mulder and Scully leave her cell.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have a walk and talk in the hallway.
So they're walking out. Scully tells Mulder that he was way out of line, and this is a very irresponsible line of questioning because Kathy Lee was convicted in a court of law. So, and like all of the facts are in, not in her favor, but like Scully believes that she's probably guilty. But Mulder asks Scully then how she would explain the two ransom notes and the weird connections between the cases. And all Scully thinks is that Mulder is just taking these cases very personally. And Mulder says, no, I am not taking this case personally, but I am going to find these kids. And I'm going to die trying to find these kids. But I'm not taking it personally.
No, don't worry about it.
Yes. And Scully asks Mulder, what is he going to do if they are dead? And Mulder does not have an answer. But you can tell from his face it won't be good.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be a good situation.
And then we see Kathy Lee crying in her cell. She looks up and she sees a vision of her son, and this changes her mind. So she gets up to yell for the guard to bring Mulder and Scully back because she is ready to talk.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I guess Dean convinced her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we cut to Tina again. She is still trying to get in contact with her son, who is not answering his phone.
Her no good, no account.
Fucking son who won't even call her back. Mm-hmm. My God. And her voicemail is a little ominous. She's like, I'd hoped you'd call upon your return, but I haven't heard from you. I'm sure you're busy. There are so many emotions in me. I wouldn't know where to start. So much I've left unsaid for reasons I hope one day you'll understand. And as she is leaving this ominous voice message, she's also removing all of the pictures that she has of Fox and Samantha from their frames and burning them in a trash can.
Ooh.
I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm going to be honest. I'm getting a little worried.
That's what I do.
A little worried.
That's what I do when my son doesn't call me back. Like he's dead to me now.
This is a new kind of guilt trip.
Yeah. I won't keep pictures of a boy who won't call me back.
Well, I'm getting worried.
Yes.
This seems bad.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe she's mad because she still hasn't been given a first name.
They've really never... Do they ever say Tina on screen?
I can't remember them ever saying that on screen. I actually don't even know, like, where the name came from, because they never say it.
Yeah.
She's always credited as Mrs. Mulder, so I don't know where Tina came... It was probably, like, on, like, a prop piece of paper or something.
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe we see her gravestone later.
Maybe. Oh, spoiler.
It'd be pretty funny if it still said Mrs. Mulder.
It'd be pretty funny.
Or there's like a, you know, a flower in front of her first name. Okay, then it would be, you know,
that would circle around being pretty funny.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
All
right. Okay, so Tina's no account, no good son, Mulder, or I should say Fox, is, while his mother needs his help, is showing up in the interrogation room where Amberlynn's parents are being held. They still have this incompetent lawyer. They still haven't gotten rid of him.
He's still their lover.
Oh, my God. He can still be their lover, but he doesn't have to be their lawyer.
Yeah. If he was really their lover, he would step down.
See?
And get them a real lawyer.
See? This is the definition of a conflict of interest.
It really is. Oh, yeah.
So Mulder has brought a videotape that they took of Kathy Lee. And so he puts it in to play for the parents. She took... recorded this message to Amberlynn's parents. So on the tape, Kathy is saying that she doesn't want the same thing to happen to these people as happened to her. She says that she believes their little girl is okay, and she knows that they're afraid of the truth. She can't explain everything except to say that she doesn't remember ever thinking the words on the ransom note. She doesn't remember writing them. It was like they wrote themselves using her hand. But what she knows for sure is that her son is safe and protected and in a better place. And then, like, the mom starts sobbing, and the dad holds her hand, and Mulder looks on also sadly.
Yes.
Yes.
Everyone's emoting.
Yes.
Yeah. So we cut to a video monitor in a room full of TVs. It's like a weird, gross back room kind of place full of old TVs. One is showing a news report about the parents being released due to lack of evidence. So it's like a news report covering the Amberlynn case. And they mention that authorities are still baffled and confused and that maybe there's some sort of supernatural forces involved, I guess. They, like, mentioned that on the news report.
Oh, did they? I didn't notice that.
Unfortunately, there are also other TVs showing some janky homemade videos of children that do not look like they know they're being filmed. Not a good sign. Mm-mm. Don't like that. And then we see a man's gut walk into frame, which was very interesting. It was interesting directing. Like, literally.
Yeah,
like,
I guess
it's gut first.
No, you're right. You're right.
It's strange. He walks into frame, and then he turns the volume up on the TV with the news report where we see the Mulder is giving a statement to the press.
Always a bad sign.
Mulder. Why would anyone...
Who let him do this?
No. What? Okay. So that's, I guess, how they know about the supernatural element. And so he is saying that the LaPierres are no longer primary suspects, but they're going to, you know, continue to intensify their search or whatever for the actual suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And we do get kind of a cool transition to the same interview playing on a TV in Skinner's office. And Skinner is sitting with Mulder in his office watching this, and then Skinner turns it off and he goes, "We're going to intensify our search to where? The Twilight Zone."
Ooh, you got him.
You know, he prepped that bitchy line. I love that for him. And, you know, like, Mulder is completely unchagrined. He does not care that he is in trouble in the principal's office.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "I have a corroborating witness." And Skinner says, "Yeah, but she's also in prison." And it's bullshit. The only connection between these two cases is you. I've got people busting their butts on this, Mulder, doing actual detective work while you're out gathering Grimm's fairy tales from convicted murderers. And he's, like, really getting in, like, you know, into a rhythm of yelling at Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
He's enjoying it.
Yeah.
He's having a good time. When Scully walks in unannounced and Skinner, like, snaps at her, but she's like, "I really have to talk to Mulder because guess what? Tina Mulder is dead. R.I.P. And she says it like that, too.
No, she's
not
good. I
feel
like she said it a little more compassionately than
that.
She
did. She did.
Yeah.
She didn't just say R.I.P. and leave. Tina's dead?
Tina's dead.
What the hell?
I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that.
What the heck happened?
I'm Tina's only fan. We're all, Tina's
yeah,
only fan.
I love Tina. She's not like a good mom, but...
No, she's well, a guess, terrible mom.
I mean, I guess we're going to learn what happened. I guess we've always thought that she sold her daughter to aliens, but...
So we believe.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's a little different.
Or she didn't personally, but she was aware of it.
Yeah.
She allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well. Mm. Well. Mm. We go to Mrs. Mulder's house in Greenwich, Connecticut. It's an investigation station, but a sad one. Mulder and Scully arrive, and the
coroners.
The coroners are on the scene. So they go and talk to them, and they discover that Tina killed herself using sleeping pills in an open gas stove. And Mulder just kind of wanders around sadly and goes into the bedroom, and Scully follows him in there. And Mulder says that there is no note. He does have a voicemail message from her, but he never called her back.
Ooh.
And I'm sure he's going to take that really, really, really well.
Yeah, I bet he won't blame himself at all. It's fine.
Not at all. So he kind of wonders why his mom would do this, and it just doesn't make any sense to him. He can't accept that she would kill herself. He thinks it's weird that all of the photos were gone. He does kind of zero in on the fact that Tina called him wanting to talk about the Amber Lynn case, and so he thinks he's going into full conspiracy mode now. He thinks that Tina obviously just couldn't tell him what she wanted to say over the phone because they would overhear. And then Scully starts to look a little worried, and she's like, who?
Who's they?
And he's like, whoever took my sister, of course. So he thinks that this is all staged. The pills, the oven, everything. It must be part of the conspiracy. He thinks that they came here, threatened his mom, sedated her. He thinks that they need to look for a needle puncture mark in her arm, something besides the pills that will prove that she did not kill herself. And Scully is getting more and more worried. She starts to look a little sick, and she's like, Mulder, I cannot do this. I cannot do an autopsy on your mom. Like, I don't want to do it. But Mulder is like, well, who else can I ask? You know, he trusts her so much. And Scully says that it is one thing to do an autopsy on a stranger, but it's a whole other thing when it's this personal. And Mulder says that he understands that, but he trusts Scully implicitly, and if she doesn't check, he might never know the truth.
Mm.
And so Scully sighs in a way that means that she is going to do it.
Yeah, but she's not happy about it.
No. You know that you're reaching a whole new stage of your relationship when you're doing an autopsy on your partner's mother.
Your mother-in-law. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, most people don't ever reach that stage.
No.
This is a unique stage to these little freaks.
Yeah, I don't know what stage number this is, but it's quite something.
You'll notice Scully didn't ask Mulder to do an autopsy on her dad. Interesting.
That's true.
They hadn't advanced that far yet.
She probably... I don't want to see Mulder doing an autopsy. No.
Oh, God. Scully's dad's body is
goo everywhere.
Absolute mess.
Yes.
It'd be like in Bad Blood when Scully's like slamming body parts down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I assume that's how she does the Tina autopsy.
Yeah, fuck Tina. Wait, I forget. Did she get along with Tina? What do we think?
Did they ever meet on screen? They like briefly saw each other in Demons.
Yeah. I feel like that was basically the only interaction they had that we saw.
I don't think they would get along.
Yeah.
I just don't think Tina gets along with most people is the thing.
Yeah, true.
I think... Yeah, I don't think that Scully would like her very much just... You know, she's got to be on Mulder's side.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like, given what Mulder has told Scully about his mom, I feel like for those reasons, she probably wouldn't like her very much.
Yeah.
I don't know what Tina would think about Scully. I don't think she thinks about her.
Yeah, I don't think she thinks about it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's no Margaret Fox situation.
No.
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 All right. Well, we see Mulder return to the Idaho prison. He's just getting all over town. He's going Connecticut to Idaho and back again. Goodness gracious. But he needs to talk to Kathy Lee again. And he looks a little, I don't know, haggard and emotionally distraught and manic, I would say.
A little bit.
He's like, Kathy Lee, you've seen things and I need to understand them. He admits to her that his mother just died, and he claims that Kathy Lee probably knows why, and he's, like, you know, even offering to talk to the parole board on her behalf if she helps him. I don't think you talking to the parole board on her behalf would help her situation, Mulder,
no.
But that's sweet of you to offer. And Mulder also shares that his sister Samantha was taken, and Kathy Lee, like, looks, I don't know, like a placid, like, saintly smile or something mm-hmm. on her face, and she's like, your mother knows why, didn't she? And she was trying to tell you. How does this woman know that Mulder's mom was trying to get in contact with him?
I don't know.
What the heck's going on? And Kathy Lee starts talking about walk-ins, which are apparently old souls looking for new homes, and that Samantha is probably among them. Kathy Lee claims she can see them, but it can be difficult, you know, because they live in the starlight. We all get that. Yeah. I get that.
Yep.
That's fair. Mulder asks if his sister is dead, and Kathy Lee says they took her to protect her from great harm she would have suffered in her life, just like my little boy. And Mulder wants to know where they take the kids, but Kathy Lee does not know. But she does insist again that they are all safe and okay.
And Mulder is buying into this 100%.
This feels like two very broken people convincing themselves of some nonsense.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
It's very sad.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, you do get the sense that Kathy Lee is just kind of talking out of her ass, but it's very sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Like, she might be having a psychotic break now.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, boy.
And Mulder might be, too.
Yes. Well, we go to Santa's North Pole Village, where it's Christmas all year round. Hooray.
Uh-oh.
Not necessarily this one, but I do love a creepy, dinky little amusement park.
Yeah.
Not this one.
Full of dead bodies.
Again, not this one. I mean, sure, full of dead bodies, but, like, in a more fun way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This one is sad. So mm-hmm. a family arrives, and the kids run in, and they're all petting some, like, depressed-looking llamas with, like, reindeer horns plastered on, and it's just sad and mm-hmm. dinky and just...
Ugh. Yeah.
But the kids do seem like they're having a great time.
Yeah, they're
I guess.
Loving it.
They're loving it. The creepy guy that we saw up before walks up creepily, and the dad kind of like sassily tells him that the kids want to see Santa, but like in kind of a weird way.
Yeah, he really does.
I don't know. And then the creepy guy goes into the office to change into his Santa suit. So now we are starting to put the clues together. I think this guy might be our guy.
He might be a kidnapper.
I think he might be.
Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Meanwhile, Mulder is sitting at his desk in his apartment just re-listening to Tina's last voicemail.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Oh, we're really in it now, Ariana.
She does say the mom equivalent of like cursing him out, where she's like, I know that you're really busy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Which you know what that means.
That's brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
I get that everything else in your life is more important than me. I understand that, of course, and I've come to peace with that. I only gave birth to you and raised you, but
that's exactly
it's fine.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Scully knocks on the door, and you know, Mulder gets up to answer it, but before she can say anything, he just sort of starts manically telling her all of his theories. And he's like, I know Tina was trying to tell me something about Samantha, and I know that she knew it was relevant because of this Amber Lynn case that I'm on. She, you know, like there was this automatic writing of the ransom notes, and Tina must have written a note like that herself when Samantha was taken. Obviously, it's exactly the same situation, and I don't think Samantha was even abducted by aliens anymore. That's what Tina was telling me about. That's why they killed Tina.
Mm-hmm.
And Scully, like, you know, he finally, like, takes a breath, and she's able to, like, you know, say, Mulder, I'm sorry, but I just finished the autopsy, and Tina definitely killed herself. She was recently diagnosed with a really horrible, untreatable, disfiguring disease, and she clearly just didn't want to live anymore. And Mulder looks very pained and thoughtful, and then suddenly, like, you know, like, explodes in anger and, like, slams his hands on the desk, and he's like, she's trying to tell me something, and then he breaks down and starts crying. And I guess perhaps starts to actually process the fact that his mom killed herself.
Yeah.
And he's not doing good. Scully's like, she was trying to tell you to stop looking for your sister. She was trying to take away your pain. And then she holds Mulder while he sobs a lot.
This is so sad.
Yeah, it's not good. Poor guy. He's not doing well.
No, I mean, he never is. So it's like, it doesn't take much to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, to bring him all the way down.
Yeah. Oh, poor buddy.
Yeah.
I also did went before Scully came in. He's like listening to the voicemail, and he just like rests his head sadly on the voicemail.
Yeah,
the machine.
He does not look well.
Aww.
But he's very good at looking sad.
He is.
Yeah,
you know, he excels at it.
Yeah,
yeah. Unfortunately for him,
true. He
maybe if he didn't look so good, you know, if he wasn't so good at looking sad,
the universe would stop making him sad.
I think so. I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, back at the La Pierre residence, which is empty. I was shocked that I feel like the press would definitely still be outside.
Yeah.
There's like nobody there. I'm like, that's not.
It
that's
does
not
feel
real.
Like they would be like camped out all night for like creeps.
But anyway, so the parents are going to bed, and then the mom looks up and she sees a vision of Amber kind of speaking to her, but she can't hear what she's saying, just like Kathy Lee saw with her son. So I guess the cases are connected. It is morning at Mulder's apartment. Skinner knocks on the door and Scully answers. Scully has stayed the night, so that's very sweet. She is still wearing her sensible heels, though.
Well,
I noticed.
She was wearing those the last time, too, and irresistible.
I know.
That's just her...
That's a Scully special.
That's her sex wear. I'm just kidding.
That was not what was happening here. No, I'm joking. I do enjoy how Skinner just, like, does not respond at all to Scully answering Mulder's door. He's like, yeah, whatever.
Obviously.
I know about
this.
Like,
yes, of course.
So, Skinner is here because Amber's mom is asking for Mulder. He says that the case is heating up and he has booked 2 tickets to California. They gotta go right away. And Scully says... Book 3.
Hell yeah, she really does.
I enjoyed that.
I did too.
I also was hoping, I know that they don't actually have this, but I was hoping that there's some kind of like a 3-person bench seat on the plane for the Scoo crew.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That'd be cute.
I think it'd be adorable.
I mean, they were probably all in a row together. Who do you think was in the middle? Mulder.
Maybe this week, just because he's sad.
Yeah.
I feel like normally, I mean, Mulder has to be in the aisle, right? Because his legs are so long.
Skinner's pretty tall, too, though.
He
and his ass is so big. It would fill the seat.
That's true. Yeah. I think Scully would be in the middle.
Yeah.
Probably.
Is she mad about it?
Probably. No. Skinner, you know, no, I'm changing my mind. I feel like Mulder's a window guy.
He feels like he would want to look outside and dream, right?
Yeah,
I think.
That's cute.
Yeah. Skinner's utilitarian.
Skinner's got to like march up and down the aisle and see what's going on.
He wants to get off the plane first. He like flashes his badge and he's like, I'm getting off this plane first. I'm getting my luggage first.
That actually feels right. Okay, we solved it.
Okay.
We solved it.
That was important. Okay, thank you for joining me on that little thought experiment. What are we doing now? Okay.
They go to,
they go to the LaPierre house. Mulder walks in where, the mom is still kind of in bed looking distraught. And then Scully also trails in, and Mulder doesn't really actually introduce Scully, but he's like, she's cool. Don't worry about it.
I don't think they have the mental
bandwidth
capacity to.
Yeah, that is very fair. The mother explains this vision she saw and says she couldn't understand what Amberlynn was saying to her because it was like, you know, her mouth was moving, but the sound was muted. But it did seem like she was mouthing the number 74, but that number doesn't mean anything to either parent. And then Mulder just like storms out of the house past Skinner and Scully, and he's like, okay, let's go home. And Skinner and Scully are like, what? What's going on? We literally just got here. But Mulder says this is just the delusional talk of people who don't want to accept the truth. And he says, we're not going to find their daughter alive. It doesn't make any sense. You can't see a ghost and also expect her to be alive. You know what I mean? Like, if you're seeing ghosts, he's dead.
Yeah.
And Mulder, in an absolute first, I would say.
This is
amazing.
This caught me. Yeah.
It's scary, right?
It is.
It's not good.
You know something is really wrong.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. I thought he was like... I don't know, like trying to get away with something or like do something shady, but
nope.
I don't know. He says to Skinner, I can't explain anything, and I'm too close to the case to think straight, and I want to be taken off the case, and I want to take some time off.
What?
Ooh. Was Skelly talking to him all night about this? She was like, it would be really healthy for you to like take some time off. Yeah. You're too close to this case. Like, I care about you.
I mean, like, I hope so.
Yeah. And like, it actually got to him.
I mean, this is objectively a healthy thing to do, yes. But it's not the Mulder way.
Yes, and I'm worried about him, even though.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's that.
Yeah, I feel like, because Scully also would not take time off if she was in emotional distress, but I feel like she would recognize that Mulder should take, you know, when it's not her, she's like, you should take time off. I don't need to, of course, but you should.
Yeah, she definitely, wasn't she back at work the day after her dad died?
No. The day after?
Like a couple days after.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because Mulder was like, you should go home.
And she was like, no, I'd rather work.
That's right. So these people, which is why you know this is so...
serious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the Skoo crew go driving down a scenic California highway, but sadly... Mm-hmm. Mulder is sitting in the backseat, very depressed. Scully is, she's not ready to let this go. So she's kind of looking out the window, and she happens to see a road sign for Highway 74. Mm. So she gets out the road map. She follows Highway 74 with her finger, and she sees a marker for the Santa Village. Ah. Clue time. So she's like, oh my God, that's it. Skinner, ooh. she hiccups.
Yeah.
She says, Skinner, turn around, and mm-hmm. he screeches around in a circle.
So they go to the kitschy place, the Santa's North Pole, and it seems empty, which probably isn't surprising.
Yeah,
it's probably pretty par for the course.
Cute that Skinner's just tagging along on their case.
It's nice. I mean, I guess it's like his case technically.
Yeah,
it is cute to have. Yeah, to have him along.
I wish that he would be in more. Just like, I wish he would just like come with them on a case one time.
Yeah.
When it's not like, you know, his usual thing.
They could write like a goofy reason for why. Yeah. It'd be like your review's coming up.
Sure, why not?
Doing your job. I don't know. So they, Mulder and Scully walk into the, the place where the kids actually meet Santa. And then they walk into that back room that we saw with all of the TVs. It's now unlocked and the TVs are off, but there are a bunch of surveillance tapes and other things just like around the walls, some of them going back to the 60s. Scully puts a tape in at random and we see a creeper video taken of Amber Lynn 2 days before her disappearance. Not a good sign. Mm-mm. And then Santa himself comes back and locks the door with Mulder and Skelly still in this back room and runs around outside. And Skinner sees him running because Skinner is just like wandering around outside himself, I guess. And he gives chase to this guy while the Boo crew try to break out of the room. The Boo crew break out successfully. They run and catch up with Skinner, who is chasing this guy down in a forest. They get the guy on his knees and handcuff him. We learn his name is Ed Trulow. They put him under arrest, but then Mulder gets distracted by what appears to be a small burial mound on the ground in the woods. And then he looks around some more, and he sees it's not the only one.
Uh-oh.
And then he says, Scully... Which I also like that Skinner's there, but he doesn't address Skinner at all. Yeah. He's just talking to his girl. And Scully looks around as well, and she also sees all of the burial mounds, and the camera kind of pulls out, and we see that there are dozens of them.
Yikes.
And then it says, to be continued.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Grim.
I think there's some dead kids there.
Yes.
Yikes.
Yes.
Yikes.
Yes. Hmm. Not a bummer ending.
Yeah.
Bummer ending.
I think that's fair to say. Yep.
Well, shall we move on?
I guess.
To the crew?
Yeah, let's do it.
We got to break this up somehow.
We got to,
So at this point, while they're making the show, they did think this was going to be the last season. So they were like, we need to wrap up the Samantha Mulder storyline.
I gotta be honest. Well, whatever. I'll talk about it later.
Okay. All right. So Chris Carter said that he knew that everyone would expect them to wrap up this storyline in the series finale, but they wanted to pull a switcheroo on everybody, so they slotted it into the mid-season slot.
Those bad instead. Boys.
Yep. That's what they said. They said, we're so bad.
Yeah, we're going to be
You bad. Guys, Chris walked into the writer's room. He's like, guys, you want to be bad? And they're like, yeah.
Oh my God, what? Yes.
I hope that that's how the writing meetings go.
Yes.
It isn't, but I, in my heart.
But wouldn't it be a lot funnier?
It would be. Mm-hmm. It would be. For me.
For me, yes. For and me. For me.
Yeah. Yep. So... the episode Sein und Zeit means being and time, which is the magnum opus of Martin Heidegger, which is he's all about that existentialism.
Ooh, you know I love existentialism.
So I scanned the Wikipedia article on being and time. There's a lot of words in there, but being and time, basically, when you break it down, he rejected Descartes' notion of the human being as a subjective spectator of objects. He introduced the term, I can't pronounce this, I'm not even going to try. He introduced a term which is like? Dasein. D-A-S-E-I-N.
E-I-N. Das Ein?
Das Ein?
Yeah, I think
so. Okay, Das Ein. I guess that's not that hard to say. Which means being there. So it's a living being existing in the world and, you know, all that stuff. So he's talking about time, finding its meaning in death, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Go read the book if you're interested.
Sorry. Final.
No. Just, that's what I got.
Skelly Nation Book Club.
Yep.
Let's all read Being in Time.
Oh, yeah. I did. So this is pretty wild. So one of the guys in the props department, he had all of his props, including a bunch of mock-ups of the ransom note. He went to a payphone and made a call, and he forgot the folder with the ransom notes in it.
Okay.
There was apparently some person watching him that thought he was acting very suspiciously.
Oh.
So they walked up, they found those ransom notes, and they called the police, and then this guy did get arrested.
Oh, no. Yes. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Well, what a wacky mix-up. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that was fun to explain.
That random citizen probably thought they were like having the coolest day of their life. They're like, really fuck.
Oh my God.
I solved the case, bro.
Probably, right?
That's pretty funny.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure they worked it out.
I assume they couldn't show them that it was for a show.
Yes. Well, or maybe they just let him rot in there. I don't know.
He's still in prison.
Kim Manners got the call and he's like, I'm too busy. And he hung up.
I'll call you when I'm back in town. And then he never did.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Oh my God, Kim. Or he wasn't directing this episode.
It's still his fault, though. Let's blame it. Michael Watkins, I think. Yeah. Fucking Kim Manners.
But it's still Kim's
doing
fault,
this.
Yeah.
He's always letting people go to prison for him.
Oh my God. They also had they didn't have enough money to... They went over budget, I guess. So they were missing a scene of the like news footage at the end of the episode. So they didn't want to ask Fox for more money. So they reached out to a TV correspondent in Los Angeles. I wrote down his name, Robert Penfold, and they asked him to record some footage for free, and he did.
Oh,
thanks,
sweet.
Thanks, Rob.
That's what you got when you got a hit TV show that people want to be on.
I guess so.
I would do it. If the X-Files came to my job and said, will you do your job for free so you can be on the X-Files? I would say, I don't think my job is relevant, but sure.
I would say yes. So, thank you, Robert. Cool.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah.
You're a mensch.
That's all we got.
All right. Well, shall we move into Blazer Watch, the segment where we talk about the fashion in the episode? I don't have a lot.
I have one thing.
Okay. What is it?
Amberlynn's mom has like some throwback 80s hair. It was very large. She had like a tight blue sweater. You know, she was working it before she got very sad and her life was ruined.
Yeah.
Yep.
After that, she's probably not going to be working it too good.
Yes.
But, you know. Scully's got her long coat again, but that's boring. We've talked about that. We got casual Mulder with the jeans and the gray sweater and the leather jacket that he's got, but that's just like his always casual look.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Trullo is, I don't know, like bald and has a white t-shirt and a denim overshirt. And he looks like someone who would kidnap kids.
There you go.
In a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a brief blazer watch, but
we got more important things to talk about this week.
Exactly. So let's hop on over to FBI Do, the segment where we analyze the development of the romantic relationship between the Boo crew. We do it on a doomsday clock scale, where 10 minutes to midnight is far from love and 0 minutes to midnight is right in the atomic blast zone of love. And we give examples from the episode at hand to make sense of that scale. So who would we say is 10 minutes to midnight in this episode?
Fox and Harsh Realm.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Mulder and not answering his mom's phone calls.
Yeah, Fox and Tina, am I right?
Yeah.
Oof. Sons and filial obligation, apparently.
I guess so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said that Mulder and Skinner are, like, at odds, but I guess they come together at the end, so.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. It all works out.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we say is 0 minutes to midnight in this episode?
I just have the Scoo crew on the road together.
Hell yeah.
It's very cute.
It is pretty cute.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it's cute.
Sure.
I
wish it was on a better week.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. If it could be wacky. If they were doing this in Detour, that would have been fun. Skinner was there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Alas. You know, in retrospect, this wasn't in good taste. I put Santa and abducting kids.
Come on now.
I was struggling to think of anything.
See, that thought crossed my mind, and I'm like, I'm not going to write that down.
Well, I feel bad now. Yeah. There wasn't a lot in this one for 0 minutes to midnight.
Scoo crew?
Yeah, Scoo crew.
On the road.
Yeah, Scoo crew.
I don't know.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. You win.
Yeah,
you're more moral than me.
Thank you.
You win.
I'm always saying this. Yeah.
Where do we put the Boo crew on this scale?
Like a 2?
Okay.
It's getting harder to, like...
So is the scale, it's like it's like emotional closeness also and like intimacy?
I think so.
Because it's like, they're not being like romantic.
No.
They're not flirting, but they are profoundly emotionally close and supporting each other. Well, Scully's supporting Mulder in this one, so okay. I guess I was like confused about the scale. I was like, it's either like really low.
Oh god, we're even confused about our own scale.
It's either really low or on the moon, and I'm not sure which.
It counts all.
Okay
then, romantic, emotional,
then like
everything.
A 2. Yeah, I mean, they're basically living together at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, Scully agreeing to do an autopsy on Mulder's mom because she's the only one he trusts is also quite something.
That's intimacy.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah. It's
an intimacy I wouldn't even really want.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
I don't know what's going on with these two,
but
more power to them.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Why would they, do they just let people do autopsies?
Oh, well, you're Scully.
I guess as next of kin, Mulder probably could request one.
Yeah.
I guess you are able to do that. Okay.
I think so.
I was like, can she just do this?
I guess so.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's that for FBI Do, and I suppose it's time to move on.
Wait.
Okay.
I forgot I wrote something down about... I'm interrupting the monster of the week.
That's okay.
About Scully staying the night.
Yes.
And how they basically did the same thing on Bones, but very badly.
Oh, yeah.
Where they, like, right?
Yeah.
That's when they, like, got together. Yeah. But it was really dumb and bad.
This would be, like, if in this episode they made a big deal of Mulder and Scully fucking.
Exactly.
Which would be crazy.
Exactly. I was, like, because I was saying, I liked that, like, Scully was just staying the night and it was just, like, it just happened. It was just, like, a non-issue.
Yeah.
But they did the same thing on Bones.
Yeah.
Very badly.
Are you implying that they didn't know what they were doing?
I guess. I think they were just... It's just a bad show, right?
I think they just wanted them to get together and...
Yeah.
We're not sure how.
I just, like, don't know what... we're talking about Bones now.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking, but they were like... We're going to kill off one of our major characters, uh-huh. And this is the episode where the two of them are going to get together?
Yeah, because it's hot.
It's so strange.
If one of my coworkers got shot in front of me, I would immediately bone another coworker.
What happened there?
I don't know what to tell you. I guess, sorry if that makes me weird, but that would be my first reaction.
I don't know.
I would point at a random coworker and say, you, me, now. Because you could die.
No.
You could die.
I don't like it.
No.
I don't like it.
No, it's quite bad.
Anyway.
But this was sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Do you think... Oh, I don't know. Well, I guess I don't have anything interesting to think about.
Wow. How are you doing? so down on yourself.
He didn't sleep at all. I was like, did he like sleep on the couch? What was going on? But like, okay. They probably didn't sleep at all. He was probably just sad and they probably talked all night.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mulder.
Oh.
Poor guy.
What a guy.
I mean, I guess this is like what happened last time when Scully killed a guy in cold blood and then she stayed over at Mulder's place too. So it's like, these are some broken people.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm happy, not for them, but for me.
For our little freak enjoyment.
Yes.
All right. Well, okay. So that's FBI Dana. Now it's Monster of the Week. Oh my God, Diesel Dana. She's coming to attack.
Yes.
All right. So it is time for us to talk about this week's Monster of the Week. I, of course, had Mulder for not calling his mom back.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I have starting a betting pool as to whether a little girl is dead or not.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucked up.
That's tough.
Don't do that.
I don't like that one either.
Yeah.
No, it's gallows humor, okay? It's fine. all right. And what was our favorite scenes and or moments from this episode is our next segment. And I believe this is an even episode, so it's my turn to go first.
No, 10 is an odd number.
Oh, yeah. So. Okay. Well, go for it.
No, it's an even
You just
number.
Said it was odd.
I was just trying to confuse you.
You know I didn't take math class.
Ever.
Okay. At no point.
They didn't offer that where you went to school.
No, they didn't have that. Okay. All they had was, I don't know, what's a funny class? Corn shucking.
Basket weaving. Basket weaving.
Yeah, well, you had to shuck the corn and then use the corn
to
make baskets.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Honestly, I kind of liked the scene in the motel room. It's like dark and spooky and ominous and sad. And it's just like, we've all been there, right? Like you're in a room and it like gets dark and you're too sad to turn on the light.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just want to like wallow in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, we get this call from Tina and that's also very ominous. So it was just like clearly setting up an episode where Mulder's psyche is fragile and there's going to be something going on with his mom and Samantha and it's probably not going to be good. So
yeah.
I enjoyed it atmospherically.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I quite enjoyed the scene where Mulder breaks down in tears after Scully tells him the results of the autopsy. It's very sad. It was very good. It feels very, very true to his character that he would not be able to accept that his mom just died without it being related to the conspiracy. And he just keeps insisting that it is when really it's just mundane sadness.
Yeah.
So I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And we got a little hug.
Yeah, it was pretty
But
sweet.
A sad hug.
It was a sad.
Yeah.
Sad hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's time to rate this episode. Let's sum it all up and rate it on a scale of 0 to 5 alien head emojis. What are we giving Sign und Sight?
Signs and Wonders?
Exactly. Same episode. They're just very similar names.
They are.
I don't know.
Right after each other.
Too close together.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like, again, this is the eternal problem where it is really hard to say what I'm going to rate this episode until I have seen the second part. I mean, the second part is literally called closure. So it's like, I don't really feel like I have closure yet. I don't really know. Like, you know, I guess we can like assume maybe that Samantha is one of those bodies, but like why and what and who and how and etc. So I
where and why and when
exactly. So I don't know if like that story is actually going to have satisfying closure or if it is going to be silly. So it's like I don't know for sure. But I'm excited, I guess, by the assurance that this time for real we're gonna learn what happened to Samantha. I honestly feel like I kind of thought we already knew what happened. I guess I was like, I don't know, I guess I thought like we kind of knew that the background boys were like had this agreement with aliens for colonization and that Bill Mulder was under some sort of pressure and he had to like agree to give up one of his kids as collateral and whatever.
But we do know that's all true, but we don't know what happened. Like she disappeared. They took her, but we don't know what
happened to her.
What do they do with her? Where does she go? Okay.
But so that is all true, then, still? I guess that was the I was, like, confused if they were, like, totally throwing that all out the window, because this felt like it was, like, some random dude just, like, doing crimes to kids.
We will find out next week. Okay.
So, like, until I know that, I'm going to be a little suspicious, because it'll be very strange if they, like, retcon that, because that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That the backroom boys wouldn't have been involved, and that it still wouldn't have been related to, like, the aliens and Bill Mulder's work. So I guess I'm, like, cautiously suspicious until I find out what went on. If it is,
I don't know what about this show would cause you to be so suspicious.
If that's all still true, and then they, like, buried all of the kids in the woods somewhere, and for some reason Santa was involved, I guess that's fine. But, like, why is Santa involved, and why is it still happening to these other kids if the alien conspiracy thing is, like, kind of done, I guess? I guess just the backroom boys got killed? I don't know. So I really don't know.
You'll find out next
week.
Don't,
I don't know what I think about it yet because of that. So that's tough. But this episode, like, it was very... I guess atmospheric isn't even quite the right word I want to use, but, like,
it's atmospheric.
Okay. It's atmospheric. Like, it was slow, but, like, in a very deliberate way. You know, we get Mulder projecting, which I enjoy. Although, honestly, I guess I, like, this is a personal problem probably, but, like, at the beginning of the episode, I wasn't really getting the vibe that he was projecting that much. Like, he was, like, looking sad and stuff, I guess, but he, like, always looks sad and stuff, so it didn't seem that strange to me, but obviously we were supposed to pick up on
that. I think it was just, like, the tone of the episode.
Yeah, that it was, like, a sad episode, so we could tell it was a projection episode. So, I mean, it became clear throughout the episode, so I'm not holding that against them so much as maybe just me, but, you know, I guess Scully knows Mulder better than I do, because she picked up on it before I did. I'm also not totally sure why Skinner's acting like he's never met Mulder before. He's like surprised that he didn't turn in a report, and surprised that he's projecting, but I think that's cute, you know?
They needed some pushback.
Exactly.
And Skinner's like, I'm happy to do that.
I love pushing back.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if Mulder and Scully have their weird little games that they play, I think Skinner and the rest of the Scoot crew have their weird little games, too.
Absolutely.
And I love that for them. So, yeah, I guess I'm like, okay, so did Tina do automatic writing? Did she go into a trance when she was, like, at some party when it happened? I'm just like, I have a lot of questions
and
not a lot of answers. So, we'll see. We'll see. But overall, like, this episode seemed good as far as I can tell. I'm confused. I'm cautious. It's the first
You're
half.
Scared.
I'm scared. It's the first half of an episode. But I'm intrigued, I guess. Like, I guess this is, like, the core question at the heart of the X-Files. And now that I know that we didn't know what happened, I'm really interested in finding out. I just, like, accepted that that was all we were ever going to know, which is insane, I realize, in retrospect. Maybe I'm too open to ambiguity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know a lot, but we don't. Yeah. I mean, we know, like, the why and the how. We just don't know what happened to her, like, after.
I guess that doesn't... That. I mean, it's sad. I guess now I'm interested.
Yeah.
Before, I was, like, just accepting it as... Maybe I'm, like, viewing it from more of a modern TV lens, where I'm, like, that level of ambiguity is fine, where it's, like, that feels realistic that you might figure out the why, but you never ultimately learn the truth of exactly what happened at the very end, and that's just, like, a sad ambiguity you have to live with or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like I was, like, treating it like that, which I guess isn't really how TV was written back then.
No.
Or what the X-Files was going for. So...
I guess that's kind of, like, what Paper Hearts was about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, I can accept that, but I guess I am going to get more than I wanted or accepted. So I'm excited to see next week. So I guess tune in next week for my actual thoughts on the overall story. Cause I feel like I can't say anything. I don't know. I'm just like, it was pretty good. I'm intrigued. It brought me back in. It was sad. I mean, it was very sad. Like, I think the parents were very, believable in their acting, and they had a, I don't know, emotionally resonant story. I felt bad for all the people involved. You know, we get Mulder crying and being incredibly distraught. I always love that. I love watching my little characters be sad.
Of course.
Love that. So I'll give it a 3 out of 5 alien head emojis, a cautious 3 out of 5, with the understanding that that kind of all depends on how it ends.
Okay.
So all right. Maybe I'll edit it.
But are you considering that there was some harsh realm stuff in here?
Honestly, that detracts from it. I feel like it's very silly that they spent this episode doing goofy little pointless stings. My like actual inclination is to give it fewer stars, or sorry, alien head emojis than 3. But I'm like, I don't know how closure goes. So I want to like, you know, I'm investing.
Okay.
I'm investing.
Okay.
But my honest like first thought was lower than three, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right. I mean, you could put like a, you can do three with an asterisk and then revise your rating next week.
I'll do three with an asterisk.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to.
Yeah.
When you haven't seen the second part. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think I liked it more than you did. I thought it was quite good. I, you know, we've talked about this season has been kind of a bit lackluster so far. It feels like we really did need a story with like some pathos and stakes this season, and we're finally getting one, so that's exciting. We've talked a lot about how the Samantha Mulder storyline has dragged out far, 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 far too long.
Yeah.
Way too long. Past the point of like at a certain point, it's like, come on.
I don't care, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I am very relieved that we're finally wrapping it up. I think that I'm trying to be like vague in my thoughts because the next part, I think that it's very smart to disconnect the conclusion of this storyline from the mythology stuff and the alien stuff, because like we know like plot wise what happened, but that's not like really what it's about. It's like about how Mulder feels about it. So I feel like the way that they're going about it is like bringing it back to like the emotionality of it, which I feel like I think is very smart.
Okay.
I don't know. Because, like, yeah, whenever we talk about Samantha in the mythology storylines, I could not care less.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care. But I feel like bringing it back to kind of like a realistic, heavy story about like a little girl going missing, like, reminds us of like the real human cost of like what happened to her. And it makes it like more of an emotion story instead of a conspiracy story again, and reminds you, like, you see what's happening in the immediate aftermath to Amberlynn's parents, and like that's what happened to Tina and Mulder in the immediate aftermath of Samantha disappearing. So I liked all of that. I am sad to see Tina go. We're her only two fans.
Love her. She's never gonna forget anything again.
I know.
It's horrible.
I know. She's gonna take all of the things she's forgetting with her.
Yes.
It's so sad.
And she's not even gonna know.
Oh, so that's sad. However, I did kind of, I liked the way that her death happened. I don't know. I like how Mulder just like cannot accept that she would kill herself. He like cannot accept that it doesn't have something to do with the conspiracy, when at the end of the day, it's like her death is as random and sad as Samantha's death, or whatever Samantha's disappearance was. I don't know. It's like Mulder really wants to create meaning out of his mother's death by connecting it to the conspiracy and like giving him somebody to blame, when really in this case there isn't anyone to blame. So I don't know. It's very sad.
Yes.
It's very sad.
Yeah. A family torn apart.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes. I thought the directing was very good. I liked all the dour tone. David Duchovny is acting his little heart out.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to part two. So I did give it 4.5.
Yeah. Oh, oh no. Oh, boy. So I'm sorry.
I think I liked it a bit more.
Oh, no.
But that's okay. I mean, you haven't seen the second part,
yeah,
so you have no idea.
I had an asterisk.
Yes.
At the end. Yes. I do. Okay. I feel like, yes, now that you have said that, it is like changing my perception of the episode, of like bringing it back to the emotionality of like the real life experience of what it would be like if a little girl like was kidnapped, and what that does to her family and the people who knew her, beyond like the alien stuff. So thank you.
Okay.
I will think about that as we move into the next one.
All right.
Yeah.
You've got your asterisk. You know, you can go up, you can go down.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
So
there will be
more to come.
Yes.
Next week. We'll have more thoughts.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I'll have lots of thoughts, I assume.
Yeah.
Once we like finally figure out what the heck's going on with this little girl.
I think that's a good, like, what you said about, like, if the show came out now, like, what we already know would have been enough.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But we gotta find...
We gotta know it all.
I gotta know where the bodies are buried.
I guess.
Is, like, I mean, that also is emotionally true that you would want to know. Like, it feels very realistic that Mulder would still care about that. Like, you know why, but, like, where is her actual body? Or is she alive still?
Yeah, because there was still that woman that he met. Like, is that her?
Is that really her? Yeah. Like, so you would as a human be like obsessed with that probably. Yeah. So that mm-hmm. also makes sense. Like as a story viewer, I'm fine with the ambiguity, but it does feel emotionally true that Mulder would not be okay with it as a living being whose sister was taken.
Yes.
So
yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Well,
so
we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yes, we will. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that all we have to say?
For now.
Okay. For now.
I think next week will be a longer episode.
Perhaps. All right. Next week, we will be talking about season 7, episode 11, Closure.
Nice.
For real.
Yes. Yes. Finally.
I would like it if that was the name of the episode, yeah. Closure for real.
It could be the name of our episode.
Really, guys.
For real this
honestly.
Time.
Honestly.
We actually are going to tell you.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you have any thoughts or questions, you can email us at skellynationpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, both of those at skellynationpod as well. And you can DM us on those services. I don't know. Contact us. Call us. Beep us if you want to reach us,
mm-hmm.
etc.
Kim Possible.
That's what yeah. I've heard. Word on the street. Our intro and outro music is by Groove Master Putz, and you can get more of their music on Bandcamp.
Also, if you are enjoying our show, please consider giving us a rating and a review on your podcatcher of choice and spread the word about the pod. Tell your friends, your family, and the depressed llamas with fake reindeer horns on their heads about the podcast.
They looked so sad.
They do. Looks like they could use something to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I love that. Well, I've been your host, Amanda.
And I have been Ella, and please remember, trust no one.